I didn't really know what title again. Sometimes it's difficult when you think. So it could be consequences and results. It could be live life to the max. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'll read a passage first. It probably comes out of a conversation I had with someone this week when I was we were working together, and in a sense, we were talking about the fall of man and the we have sin in us, humanity, and he isn't a believer, but he was kind of shifting the blame onto Adam because we are all sinners, so I can't help myself if I sin, you see? So he's kind of doing that. And not that the message is going down that route, but some of this comes from that. But so I'd like to read Romans 1 from verse 18. But really the message I want to try and talk is about consequences of sin, right? Consequences of a life that we live. And here we go. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men. Just looking at this passage I'm going to read, you think about this. It was written more or less 2,000 years ago, give or take a few years. 2,000 years ago. And people think that the Bible is out of date. They say, oh, it's a book from the past. I want to read this and think when it could be written. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. It's all around us. Being understood from what has been made, so that men are without any excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they declaimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over. He allowed them to do what they like. He gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so now God's off the scene completely, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So the whole system swaps round. And God has demonstrated himself in creation. God's heart was always to bless and encourage man. That's what he wanted to do. Mankind, he wanted to bless man. God would take great pleasure in blessing humanity. That's what God wanted to do. He wanted to bless humanity. God invented all the laws around us. Now, what laws? I mean, God invented maths. Maths didn't invent God. God invented maths. God invented physics. God invented chemistry. God invented biology. They didn't invent God. God invented those. He's above those. He invented them. But we sometimes we put those before God. But God invented all these things. He knows what works and what doesn't work. God knows what works and doesn't work. God is wiser than man. Man likes to think he's wiser than God, but God is actually wiser than man. And this is in that reading, man put himself above God. But God is actually wiser than man. He invented it all. He invented science. He invented it all. He knows what works and doesn't work. He put order in the universe. He put it all together. The universe didn't invent God. God invented the universe. He knows that with the right order and the right plan, what is going to be good for humanity. He knows what's good for you. He knows what's good for me. It relies on us to cooperate with God. We have to work with him for it all to work. He knows what's best, but we have to work with him. And it should be man and God working, walking, talking, playing, sharing together. That's how it should be. That's what God wants. He wants us to be working together, walking together, talking together, playing together, sharing together. That's what God wants. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to be part of my life. And God had given, God has given humanity, he's given all of us a glory that is particular to humanity. And he's made us something more than the animals around us. And we were to care and to represent and to look after this world, the animal kingdom. That was part of our role. And he gave us that. But we were put above them. But back there, they started worshipping animals. And in a sense, our science has told us that we are only part of it. We've actually reduced our position because of it. We're to look after his creation. And if man listened to God, if we listen to God, we will be blessed. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us to have a bad time. God actually wants to bless us. And if we work with him, he wants to bless you. But if we don't, there are consequences. There are always consequences. And in Deuteronomy 30 verse 15, it says, "See," and he's talking to the Israelites, and they're coming into a new land. And he gives them a simple statement here. He says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity." It's like you choose. Do you want life or death? Do you want to live or do you want to struggle and survive and then fail and die? Do you see what I mean? In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. That's what God wanted. He wanted to bless them. He didn't say, go on, you're going to have a miserable time. He said, go in there, work with me and you'll have a blessed life. On the flip side, I won't read it all out. He goes, if you don't, you perish. It's going to go hard for you if you don't work with me. There are consequences to not following God. And Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things that you worry about, that you chase after, that you're concerned about, that are going to wear you down, all these things, hang on, if you put God first and his kingdom first and his righteousness first, he'll add them to you. He'll bless you with them. But if you put those things first, you're going to be bogged down by them. See? Put God first. And sin, or another word, could be disobeying God, or selfishness, or not following. I don't know. We use the word sin, but it just means being a selfish, living for yourself person. Disobeying God's ways. And it starts by ignoring or moving the priority of God from top. We move him down a bit and something comes equal. So God wants to be first in our lives and everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and other things down here. We put them together first. That's the first move. Okay, God, your ways and my ways and other ways. We match. But then slowly God goes down and it goes like that. It's just over time. God moves from first to joint first to second to being ignored. That's how it goes. And in the end, we can live without God. We can do our own thing. I'm wise. I'm wiser than God. I don't know if I need him. So, till it goes wrong. And as we try and live for ourselves, we become dissatisfied and try harder and harder to satisfy ourselves. So your life just becomes a struggle to try and bring some sort of satisfaction into your life as we move away from God. And sin takes many forms, or godlessness takes many forms, and selfishness takes many forms. And the ultimate end is that we perish when we live a selfish life, a disobedient life, is that we perish. That's the ultimate end for humanity. The ultimate end is we perish, or we cut off, or we separate from the love and joy and peace of God. It starts here. You know, our ultimate end starts while we are here now. And whatever is our destiny is fulfilled after death. Life or death starts here. Life starts now, or has started, but it starts here and now. And it is fulfilled with Jesus in love, joy, peace, satisfaction. So both start now. And in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So the promise is for eternal life. So putting our trust in Jesus. As we can see, the result of sin, or not listening to God, is to perish forever. That's the result of it. But by trusting in Jesus, we can be saved from that situation. We can be saved from it. But even when we have sinned in the past or the present, whatever, there are consequences for sins committed. So we can have forgiveness, but consequences still remain, don't they? Like when we become saved in this world, yes, we're forgiven. But things we've done still remain, don't they? They haven't gone away from our lives. We'd love it to be like that. I'm saved and everything I've done has disappeared. But it doesn't. You know, if I had killed someone, that life messed up and those families, it's still there. The consequences of the past are still around while we are here in this life. While we are here on earth, we can't get rid of the consequences of the sin. They affect us. We can get forgiveness, but we still have to live with the results of past actions. They'd still affect us. And as a Christian, I brought along here, and the ladies will laugh, because I brought the cotton with me, and I could do with the cotton, couldn't I? Because I got a split in my shirt, which was pointed out to me. So, and cotton is kind of useful for when I specially put this shirt on, because it's got a big hole in the back, just to show you that you need cotton sometimes to fix your shirt. No, that was a bit of an accident there. And cotton has its purpose, doesn't it? And wool has a purpose. We can knit with wool, and we can fix shirts with cotton. But if that cotton, and for anyone who's been fishing, and you get very fine fishing line, and it all gets tangled up in your box, it's become so bad in the end that you kind of end up just chucking it because it's too knotted up. And if this cotton wasn't on this reel all in order, and it got the kids had got hold of it, little kids, and tied knots in it, it would be quite difficult to use, wouldn't it? In fact, if that had a load of big knots in it, what would you do? You'd chuck it, wouldn't you? You'd probably get the scissors and cut the knots off, and then you could use it, because to sew it, you can't have the knots, because it won't go through the material. And, you know, and I was wrapping up some barbed wire yesterday, and I thought, I'm going to try and get it on the reel as neat as possible, because if it got all tangled up and knotted up and twisted and warped, it would be hard to use, because once it's kinked, you know, it's like a hose pipe. Once it gets a bad kink in it, it always seems to kink in the hose pipe when you're trying to water. And life sometimes is a bit like a knotted up piece of rope. And sometimes you can't get the knots out. Sometimes you can. So some of those consequences you can undo. Some of the consequences of life, being a Christian, you can undo some of them. You can go and apologize for the thing that was wrong, that you did something wrong to someone. That might undo the knot. But some things you can't undo. You know, those knots stay there forever, and you can't use it. But God wants us to try and remain as not free as possible. And so the past, we have to try and work through it now. You know, and part of our Christian life is trying to deal and work through with Jesus there and His Holy Spirit, to try and work as best we can from that past and use that past not to make the mistakes again. We don't want to just... But if we continue to live as we always have, so we say now, I'm a Christian, right? You say, I'm a Christian now, but nothing changes. Nothing changes. You still live the selfish, rebellious, disobedient life. You're still tying knots in your life. You're still making difficulty. We're just creating more problems. We're just creating more knots in the string. We become distant from God. In fact, if God wants to use you, He has purposes for you, and we are living a sinful life, doing our own thing, tying knots in ourselves, how useful are you to God? In fact, you're just you're a kind of ball of cotton that's just got masses of knots in it. It's almost more harmful than useful. And we have to think about our lives as we go on. What are we, are we listening to God? Are we living an obedient life? Or are we going to distance ourselves from God? And I, as I thought about this, the consequences of sin. I thought, well, I did think about David and his life and what he did. There were big consequences, David in the Bible, and how what he got up to. And I thought, you know, if me, Dave, had an affair, is that a big deal? Or is that a little... What's that? Is it a big deal? Is it a little indiscretion? I think about this, because in a way, you know, this is life, isn't it? And this is our Christian life and consequences of what we do. And if I had an affair, I could think, well, it's not a big deal. Because that's probably what people, how this happens. But it is a big deal. It is a big deal. And I'm picking on that one because I think it's strong enough. And even if God forgave me, and even if Viv forgave me, it still has consequences, doesn't it? See, it has consequences. It's not gone away. It's not like I've said sorry to Viv and I say sorry to God and boop, it's all gone. It hasn't gone away at all. It has huge consequences. And so we can't just live how we like and then go, well, God forgives me. Because if I had an affair, trust is broken between Viv and myself. You know, she wouldn't... There's something's gone wrong there, isn't it? Not only that, trust is broken, the relationship would never be the same again. It couldn't be the same, could it? Or could it? Do you think? It's broken, it's damaged, isn't it? And what about my children? How does it affect them? How would it affect my children if that happened? What does Ed think? What does Rue think? What does Liz think? What is my relationship like with my children once I've done that? The consequences of sin have a huge impact, don't they? And my relationship with my children has changed. My relationship with my wife has changed. See, the consequences have an impact. And there's a double-sided effect here, because for my children, I could be devalued in their eyes because of what I've done. Yeah? But also, I could actually, inadvertently, those boys could look at my life and say, what he did, I can do. See? So they can copy that. So my actions have all sorts of consequences, even though I've got forgiveness. Do you see? I've got forgiveness. Viv has forgiven me. God has forgiven me. But the consequences can be knock-on effect right through it. It hasn't happened, but I just wanted to put the scenario out there, because sometimes we think sin doesn't have an impact. It does. It impacts in many ways. We can say, oh, well, God forgives me, but it's the knock-on effect that it can have. I've taught my kids a bad lesson there. I've messed my relationship up with my wife. There are consequences to what we do. The consequences don't just disappear. We tie knots in our life that it's hard to undo. It's some things you can undo, some things you just can't take it back. And you know, I sometimes when I'm here in a role that I get to meet lots of people and I meet young couples, one of the bits of advice is, you know, when they've had a fallout with each other, don't go and jump into bed with the next person that comes along. You can't undo it. You really can't undo it. You know, whatever you might say, it has a big impact. That's just one sin, though, isn't it? There are lots of sins that have impact. I'm picked on one to get the point across. But really, we can do things, we can say things, and behave in a way that has an impact. If I keep on saying things that I lose the trust of my children, they don't trust me. But Jesus comes to give life. We had that earlier in the reading. Jesus comes to give life, and life to the full. He wants to give life. He wants to make you live. But if we live our own life, oh my word, hurry up. But if we live our own life, we can get a short-term pleasure, but a long-term disappointment, long-term dissatisfaction, long-term unfulfillment. Living for yourself can bring loneliness. So when we can live for ourselves, it doesn't bring the thoughts that you think. Living for Jesus brings life, purpose, healing, hope, joy. Living for him brings those things. And we've got to believe it. Consequences of sin can be detrimental to your health, both physical and mental. It's in the Bible. It can. It can be detrimental to your health. You can either believe it or not believe it. You can ignore it if you want, but it's there in the Bible. I'm not saying that all health issues are sin-based. Well, they are originally anyway, but it can actually be detrimental to your health. And if we are a Christian and don't change our life and we continue to behave no different to anybody else, we are a poor example to those around us. In fact, we are quite a turn-off, a hypocrite. You know, when people look and they say, well, you're no different to anyone else, we become very ineffective Christians. We're like a cotton reel full of knots. What's the point of that? What's the point of a cotton reel full of cotton that's got full of knots? And that's what we can become as Christians when we live just like everybody else, a disobedient life to God. We become quite ineffective as a Christian. And God is going to find it difficult to use you. What can he do with you with all those knots in you? Can't sew your shirt up. Our words become meaningless. Nobody wants to listen to a liar if you want help and direction. You know, if your word has no meaning, who's going to come and ask you for help? Can you give me some direction in my life to the person who you can't trust their word? And I think I'm almost there, so we'll be able to get the kids in a minute. But I got this top that I got. This is to hide the hole in the shirt. No, I got to put it. I would have put it on earlier, but I'd have been too hot. So what I'd like to say is, let us put Jesus first in our lives. We will make little mistakes. I shouldn't say it like that, because that's almost like saying it over you. But, okay, we do make mistakes. But try not to just live a life that is full of knots. Let's put Jesus first. Get a life. Do you know, living a Christian life is getting a life. If you want to see what... I was looking up Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. And if you look at Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh, that's what a Christian life living in defeat is like. You go and look it up on YouTube, all right? Eeyore. You don't want to be like that. You want to live a bit life. Jesus came to give life. He came to give you life. And you know, when you follow him, he gives life. And life to the full. He says, I come to give you life to the full. Not, I came to give you life so you can survive. Yeah? Get a life. Get living. Have less knots in your life. Live a smoother life. Anyway, I put this top on just to finish with. Because on the back, it says... You can't read it. Don't worry about the red bit. Live life to the max. Anyway, live life to the max. In Jesus, live for him. Don't live for yourself. And that will give you life to the max. Living for yourself will turn you into an Eeyore. But live life to the max. Anyway, I'm going to finish on that, and the kids are going to come back in and show us something.